Hello, I'm John Pello, CEO of the Canadian Council of Christian Charities. Welcome to another podcast from my blog, Christian Leadership Reflections, which can be found at cccc.org/blogs/John. Today's podcast is entitled Sharing the Spotlight, Leaders and Their Executive Teams. While in Milan for a board meeting, I took a tour of the city that included a visit to the refectory of the Dominican Monastery of Santa Maria della Grazia. This is where Da Vinci painted the Last Supper on one of the end walls, between 1494 and 1498. On the opposite wall, another master painter, Giovanni Donato da Montorfano, painted the Crucifixion in 1495. Both are huge paintings, each taking up the full wall. A doorway was later added to the dining hall, and part of the Last Supper was lost. De Montorfano painted a true fresco, which means he painted on wet plaster. This technique has its limitations. He had to paint a section at a time and complete it very quickly before the plaster dried, and he could not blend his colors. Da Vinci tried a new technique, painting on dry plaster. This had the advantages that he could take all the time in the world to paint as slowly as he liked. He could do preliminary work on the whole painting and then come back and work on the details. And he could blend his colors, have softer textures, and paint the effect of sunlight into his work. In addition, Da Vinci used perspective in his painting, giving it a quasi-three-dimensional look. From halfway back in the dining hall, it looks like the dining hall carries on in the painting and that Jesus and his disciples are at the dining hall's head table. The monks must have got quite a kick out of that. But my main thought in comparing the two paintings was to feel sorry for Da Montorfano because he had the misfortune that his masterpiece, being permanently opposite to Da Vinci's masterpiece, would forever be compared unfavorably to it. I can imagine him looking over his shoulder as he was painting to see what Da Vinci was doing. And yet, if his painting could be moved anywhere else, it would be appreciated as the masterpiece it truly is. It made me think about senior leaders and their executive teams. Senior leaders usually get the credit and the blame for organizational results. They also have a ceremonial or figurehead function to fulfill. Often they are looked to as the model for what the organization stands for and aspires to be. They are, in short, in the spotlight. But must they keep the spotlight to themselves? Not if they know what they are doing. Good senior leaders will make sure they include others in the spotlight of attention. They can do this because, if they are any good, they will have hired or promoted the very best people to the leadership team. The executive team should be full of top performers, highly capable in their fields, and at least one should be a credible candidate for the senior position. Each of these highly qualified executives deserves their own place in the spotlight. Sharing the attention with the executive team members demonstrates the strength of the team and consequently the organization. The shared spotlight acknowledges that organizational success is not dependent on one person alone, but on the combined capabilities of the executive team. It is the organization, not the individual, that is the main thing. Certainly for topics related to the ministry's programs, individual executive team members will likely have greater experience and hands-on knowledge of a particular issue than the senior leader does. So they would best serve as the spokesperson for that area. When it comes to the ministry as a whole, I would expect that any of the senior leadership team would do a good job representing the ministry. Allowing others to share the spotlight enhances their leadership development and expands their ability to lead because they develop their own contacts, referral sources, and so on, and become stronger leaders. Sharing the spotlight shares the workload of being in the spotlight. It can be a lot for one person to bear. And finally, sharing the spotlight also smooths the transition to a new leader when that time comes. Think of the transitions from Moses to Joshua, Elijah to Elisha, and Paul to Timothy and Titus. for example, in Titus 1:5. Organizations with active founders or strong personalities in leadership can find it hard to include others in the spotlight, even when the leader is willing to share the spotlight, because the public often wants to see or hear the person they identify the organization with. This is why senior leaders should encourage members of their executive teams, and actually anyone within the organization, to have their own speaking engagements, give interviews, and publish articles. Let them build up a following, because it all benefits the organization by raising its visibility and expanding the channels of influence for the sake of its mission. God bless.